I love the new year. It just feels so fresh. The old is past, and all of that is history, and I'm glad. Do you ever look back and you say, I'm so glad I don't have to live that year again? I guess 2018 will be one of those that I will say, I'm glad that's over. But we're looking at a new year. And I just always feel so hopeful at the beginning of a new year, don't you? It's like new chances, new opportunities. So this morning we have a little message that I hope will be a blessing for this coming year. As I do look back, I can see the faithfulness of God. I'm thankful for how God has been so true and that He is still the same. That He doesn't change. The song has a phrase in it that says, change and decay in all around I see. But what's the next part? But He, O thou who changes not, abide with me. I want the Lord to abide with me, don't you? For this coming year. The scripture says that we don't know what a day will bring forth. We much more do not know what a year will bring forth. So we do need the Lord, don't we, desperately? You feel that desperation even in hope? This morning I want to give you some names of God. And that I'm hoping that the names of God will be an encouragement to you to carry into this coming year. That you will be able to continue in faith. Continue in your trust. Because He certainly hasn't changed. I'm thinking about how God reveals Himself, and He's done it through several names. You and I call Him Lord. We call Him Jesus. We have different phrases and names that we may use when we're praying. We may, even in our songs, and in other statements, we'll say, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Highest, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All of those are names of God that denotes who He is and what He is. Your name denotes who you are and what you are. And so it be with God. So I'm just going to give you a few of the names of God that we can use as we pass from this day. God was known as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the children of Israel knew that He was their God. And they were aware of all of the stories, if you will, the testimonies of who God was to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was called the God of their fathers. And, you know, we have accounts of those who have gone before us, and we want to serve the same God that those who have gone before, maybe our ancestors. We want to be familiar with our God the same as they were, and it is the same God. But they knew him by his name because it was revealed unto them. And what they found out about God was that he had a name that was called Jehovah. And he had another name that was associated with that name, and it was Yahweh. You and I are not as familiar with the name of Yahweh, but it was a familiar name to those of that time. And so when the children of Israel were under bondage, God came to Moses and chose Moses to go and deliver them from their bondage. And he met them in the desert, and he said, I'm going to send you to deliver my children. I have heard their cry. In Exodus 3 and 13 and 14, Moses said unto God, when I come to the children of Israel and say that the God of your fathers hath sent me, and they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say? Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say, I am hath sent me unto you. So what he was asking was, what name shall I say has the authority of my mission? So we know the account that Moses carried out and that the children of Israel were delivered. And from that time, there were such miracles performed by God, the great I Am, that it caused the children of Israel to be more acquainted with and familiar with the one true God. They recognized that this was the same God of their fathers, and that he was the great I Am. It seems like a strange name to simply say, I am. It seems like that there could have been some other term or name given and they would understand a little bit better. And you and I, the great I Am is still the same today. His name is I Am. We seldom think of that. I don't. When I'm praying, I don't approach him and say, oh, great I am. I simply approach him with the name of the Lord God of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And those denote who he is and what he does. But there is no greater God than the God that you and I have such a privilege to trust in, have faith in. He says, have faith in God. And he doesn't expect you and me to have faith without a reason, without a purpose. He's proved himself to us. The scripture says, prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He was the same then. He is the same today. Yes, he invites us to prove him. He invited the children of Israel. Prove me. We know the account of standing at the Red Sea. They're being pursued by the enemy. They have nowhere to turn. And he said, to Moses, tell the people to stand still and see something. And they saw God deliver them time and time again, down through time of the children of Israel, even when they rebelled. He proved himself of who he was. This word, this name, I Am, as I read it in the commentary, it opened up a little bit to my mind. And it said that he was self-existent. Nobody created God. Nobody told him what to do. Nobody instructed him. He was the true God, the only God. Where he came from, I cannot say. God himself only knows. Maybe that'll be a question you can ask when you get there, of where his existence was. But he is self-existent. He doesn't depend on anybody else. He depends only on his ability that he trusts in his own ability. It said that he was self-sufficient. He was all-sufficient. It said that he had the inexhaustible fountain of life. Inexhaustible fountain of life. He was a God that was eternal, and he was a God that was unchangeable. Those all represented his name of I Am. He said, I am that I am. In other words, I can do, I will do, I have done, I change not. His name is forever. It is for our day. It is for all of time and all eternity. God will be the same. How important it is that we have something and someone that we can trust in that will not change, that we can look to and trust in every day, that he will not be different tomorrow. He will be the same. And he will, that who and what he is, he will be. For every generation that should come, forever how long time should go on, God will be the same. The great I Am. I'm thinking how that the Spirit of God works with you and me, talks to us, and invites us. He had people who walked with him in the beginning. He manifested himself to Adam and Eve, and that was passed on when they failed. They told that. They told it to others. Their family, and it was passed on. And there were those that walked and talked with God. And he invites you and me today to walk with him and to talk with him, to be familiar with him, to know him. He knows you. Yes. He knows me. But he wants us to know him and to know what his names. Oh, he has many names. And what they represent and how they can speak to us. Thank the Lord. So the Lord God is the terms that we use for the great I Am. And when we looked into the word of the Lord, we found that Jesus was also the great I Am. He said, before Abraham was, I Am. So he was there before the foundation of the world. We can look to him as the Savior, as the Word of God, as the one that can redeem all of mankind. He's still doing it. He can still do it to this year. It's those that we pray for, we need to have confidence that the Spirit of the Lord can still reach our loved ones. He can still reach the lost. He can reach the man out there that's bound by alcohol and drugs and bound by spirits. He still is the great I Am. I am able. I am able to deliver Whatever a need is in anyone's life this morning, He is still able. Thank the Lord. I praise Him for the hope that I have in Him. The scripture says, it speaks about you and me being cast down. Listen, we may face some times this year of being cast down. But the scripture says, hope thou in God. This is the one true God, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. Keep His names in your prayers. Keep His names in your heart. Allow it to minister to you and to me that we will have the faith and the confidence that we need to have the answers to prayer. So a name, we're going to take it with us this year. I am.
Yes.
I'm taking this name with me.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to give you one other name. And it's been a blessing down through my life when it was finally revealed to me what this name would mean. I believe Brother Porter would have Bible lessons here. He had a number of Bible lessons that have been a blessing when he was an old man in his 90s. But one that he taught us was on the name of Jehovah Jireh. And that name means the Lord will provide. And I want us to really believe that his name is one that will provide for us.
Amen.
As we leave this place today, as we go out and face whatever we face. We know not what tomorrow will bring, but we can have a confidence that whatever our needs are, He can provide. He says in one place that He will supply all of our needs.
Yes.
According to His riches in glory. Thank the Lord. He has proved Himself in the past. Oh, we have all been a blessed people. We haven't been hungry or homeless. We haven't been without a roof over our heads. Most of us have not been. And God has proved Himself and supplied our needs. And I want to say this, He has supplied many of our wants.
Yes.
And the song says He would supply our wants and our wishes too. Did you know that that's in a song? That the Lord even looks on the desire of your heart. We had a message not too long ago about delighting ourselves in Him. That He will give us the desire of our heart. That's our wish. Sometimes we may just have a wish. And He is a God that looks upon that. And when we have been delighting ourselves in Him, oh, He loves to give us the wishes of our heart as well. I know the Lord has done it for you.
Yes,
if you stop and just look back and you say, oh, the Lord was so amazing.
Yes.
He gave me this and I didn't even ask for it. I may have just had it in my mind or my heart. But I want to read some now over in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And I want to look at verse 14. No, I think I want to start reading on this part about verse 7. Because it was Abraham that gave this name to God. And we know the account. We know how that God came and gave Abraham a promise. And the scripture says that Abraham believed the promise and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And this promise, he even received the promise. And then God comes and He tempts Abraham. And when God tempted Abraham, all he was doing, it wasn't that he was giving him a temptation to fail. He was wanting Abraham to know even more about him, about God. But he wanted Abraham to also know what was in his own heart.
Yes.
And so this word tempt, it means to prove or to try or to be tested. Now, this coming year, you may meet some places where you're tempted, where you may have to prove what's in your heart, and you may have to be tested. I want to tell you, God has a tested and a tried people.
Amen.
And if we are the people of God when those times come, don't be discouraged. Remember his name.
Amen.
He said, I will provide. The Lord will provide. What does he provide? He provides grace. He provides power to overcome. He provides salvation. When we feel like that we have failed and we come before God and we say, Lord, I plead your blood. We can plead the blood all along the way. He is willing to save us all along the way. I'm not preaching a once saved, always saved, or you can't fail. I'm saying that this is who he is. He will provide everything that you need for this year and beyond, ever how long you live. And so God wanted Abraham to know something about him, and Abraham found out. Maybe, I don't know, we have to read between the lines a little bit. He might have said, but God, you gave me the promise. And I have the promise right here. And now you're asking for it back. Has God ever asked for a promise back? I think sometimes he does. I remember when our son-in-law was very sick. Sick unto death, although we didn't realize it at that time. But I remember being so inspired to plead the blood on the doorpost of the house that the death angel would pass by. I was just inspired. And I prayed that way every day. And the Lord honored it. But there came a day that we knew we had to consecrate it. It had to be the will of the Lord. God honored the promise. He passed by every day. But there came a day we had to say, now, Lord, if you want to take him, we give him. And if you want to leave him, then heal him. And our son-in-law was gone in 24 hours. God does sometimes honor a promise, and then he may come and say, consecrate the promise. Give it back to me. This is what I want to do in your life. It's not a bad thing when he calls for a promise. Even though you've enjoyed the promise, he still wants you to be willing for his will to be done. So let's start reading now at verse 7. Let's start at 6. It's so good. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire and the knife, and they went both together. And Isaac spake with Abraham his father, and he said, my father, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and seeing thou hast not withheld the promise. I'm going to say it that way. This was the promised child, and God is calling for that child. And he says, now I know that you love me more than you love this child, more than you love this promise. You're giving it back to me. And then it said, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham, verse 14, called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the reference on it then says, it shall be provided. So the name was revealed unto Abraham, and he saw what kind of God he was serving. He was not unjust. He was a God that was a God that wanted to be loved and served. And he wanted Abraham to see that sometimes he calls for these things. And it's a proving, it's a testing time. So Abraham proved himself. So the coming year, we may meet places where we have to prove our decision to live for the Lord. Are you going to live for the Lord, live or die?
Amen.
I remember one time when I was very sick, and we called for Brother Stanley and Sister Karen. This is many years ago, but I've never forgotten what Brother Stanley said. He came with tears, and he said, you know, Maxine, he said, I told him I felt like I was in a cage, that there was no way out. And he said, you'll get out of that cage when you consecrate to live or die. That's what the Lord is asking for us. Don't detour your own consecration. When we consecrated to live or die, I'm telling you, I got out of the cage. Give God your all, your will, whatever you're desiring, give it to God. He will do what is best and right.
Amen.
For you. In this coming year, believe that God is the same. Believe and trust that he will provide all things for you, whatever that is. And believe and have faith that God is who he is, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord go with each one of us as we pass into what is unknown. We don't know what is out before us. And we're not here to try to conjure up some doomsday feelings. Just put your hand in the hand of the Lord and go forth. It's the safe way. He will not fail. He will not fail you. Pray for me.